everybody, just lift your hands toward heaven. Hallelujah. What's he been able to do in your life? What's he done for you? You know, there's things that are still ahead of you that you need him to do. But you know what? The same God that was able to do those things in your life before that you needed to get done, guess what? He's the same God that is able to do them again down the road. The reality is that we know God is fully able, but he's also fully willing to touch whatever circumstance, whatever situation you're in right now. He is fully able and he's fully willing. If it's healing in your body, if it's healing in your mind, if it's healing in relationships, if it's financial breakthrough in certain areas, maybe there's just stuff going on in life. You know what? You serve a God that's able to reach down into your little world and touch that thing that seems to be so large. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name with outstretched arm, and we just cry upon our Father God. The word says we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, Daddy God, we just need you tonight. In every circumstance and situation of our life, Father, if there's healing that's needed in bodies right now, I pray, God, that your anointing would rest upon these bodies, Father. Lord, some might be weary. Some just might be tired. Some might be broke, Father. But Father, we know, Lord, that greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. We know that there is no weapon formed against us that has the ability to prosper. And we know, God, that the word says that we always come out victorious because we're winners, Father. When we're called your kids, Heavenly Father, there is nothing that is too impossible for you. Because we know, Father God, you are fully able. Now, Father, in the few short moments that we have in this service today, we just ask, Lord, that you'd anoint the service. We pray, Heavenly Father, that whatever I communicate, Lord, would be that which comes from the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Lord, that there would be ears to hear all that the Spirit of God would speak to us tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Amen. Just hug somebody real quick and tell them you love them. And then you can go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. We're glad that you're here tonight. And hallelujah. Well, it's a privilege to be here. Like Brother Greg was sharing just a moment ago, you know, it's one of those things that I'm kind of the guest around here right now. It's been 8 weeks since I've been back. And it seems like forever. But we've been working on some projects back in Broken Arrow, and I was fully involved and fully in charge of taking care of those projects. And you know, how many of you know that don't you just wish a project could be dealt with that quick? You know what? But when you're going through training and you're developing teams and you're working on some things, it takes time to do that. And so I'm so glad that Pastor asked me to minister for him and I'm going to do something tonight that I don't know that I've ever really done. And that is, I'm going to share a message that I shared before. Normally what I'll do is I might share a portion of a message that I've done before, but for some reason I just really feel led to share a message that I taught last Sunday night in Broken Arrow. It was a message that the Lord has been dealing with me about. And you know what? Sometimes the best messages that I've learned to minister are the ones that God deals with me personally about. Because if I'm just trying to find a message for you, guess what? It's probably going to be lacking in some areas. But you know what? If I'm sharing a message that's coming out of my own heart and dealing with my own life and things that I'm dealing with in what's going on in me, guess what? There's a little bit more oomph behind it. Amen? And there's some things that, you know, how many of you know that life just has its challenges? Amen? None of us have had those before, huh? We've all had challenges. All of us have had situations. And tonight, I want you to know that if I were to have a title for tonight's message, it'd be very simple. You were meant for better things. You were meant for better things. Say that with me. Say, I was meant for better things. All right. Now, if I say it that way, I'm getting a partial commitment to that. So say it with me one more time. Say, I was meant for better things. Do you know that's what the word says? We're going to show you a passage of scripture tonight that proves that to you. But you know what? Right now, everything that you're going through, everything that you have going on in life, I promise you right now, as good as it could be, God says it could be better. All right, you guys are wondering what in the world's going on. This is part of my prop tonight. Amen? Everybody okay? Ready for an illustrated sermon? We're going to shoot for an illustrated sermon. Bring it this way, right about there. I think we're going to be good. Is that good there, Cliff? He left the room. So as long as he's happy, I'm fine. If I get up to the ladder here in a minute, and you know what? It starts humming, I'll come down. We'll figure that out real quickly. So don't bother with the ladder, but I'm going to be ministering to you a message called You Were Meant for Better Things. You know, I know that in my own life, there have been times in my own life that I recognize and I understand that God has things in store for me and prepared for me that I haven't even seen nor understood yet. And I want to share just a simple two passages of scripture. I'm going to share a lot of scripture with you tonight, but there's only two that I really want you to focus on. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 28, there's an incredible story of Jacob. And I'll give you a few moments to get there. And I'm going to read this out of the King James translation. But most of what I'm going to be sharing tonight will come out of the New Living Translation. I've purposed in my heart this year in 2015 to do my studying out of the New Living. And let me explain to you why that is. Sometimes we get stuck. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? How many of you know that in your Bible you can find just about any scripture you want because you know exactly where it is, you know how you highlighted it, you might not remember the chapter or verse, but you know it's on the upper right-hand side in yellow, underlined and circled. You understand what I'm saying? And so as you do that, you read through it and you just kind of blow by it every time. But if you force yourself to read a different translation from time to time, you have to actually stop and read it because you're not sure that you got it the way you did in the old King James or the NIV or the whatever it is that you enjoy reading. And so I'm reading a lot this year out of the New Living Translation just for my own personal study. And so anyway, let's go ahead and go to Genesis chapter 28, verse number 10. And I'm going to start reading there. It says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came on a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took the stones of that place and placed them on his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. He had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, Jehovah stood above it and said, 'I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your seed. And your seed shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" Verse 15 is the passage that I really want to show you. And it says this, "And behold, I am with you." Say, "with you." God's giving Jacob a promise. He's saying, "I'm with you." Say, "he's with me." Do you believe that? He's with you. The Bible says, "Behold, I'm with you, and I will keep you in every place where you go." There's not a place you can go where he's not with you. The Bible goes on to say, "And I will bring you again to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of to you." You know, there's some things, guys, that might be going on in your life, and there may be some promises that you're trying to stand on this evening. And there may be some things that are in the Word of God that you've just been saying, "Okay, God, I need to see that. I need to realize that. I need to understand that." And you know what? God is saying in this passage, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He is going to be with you. And the neat passage that I love of that verse says, he's going to see it finished till it's done. See, a lot of times we really wonder if God's going to see it through. We really wonder. You know, we believe that what the pastors say. We believe what our grandmothers say. We believe those that are gone, you know, that have maybe walked the road before us, but we haven't personally experienced it. But God is saying here one more time, he's saying it to you guys, and I'm pulling from the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, God's intention, his character, his person, his personality, everything about God says this: "I'm going to be with you till it's finished." See, guys, some of you may, there may be something special God has for you. You may be just saying, "You know what, God, I've come to the end of my life. And you know what, I'm still wondering what you're going to use me on this earth for." And God's saying to you, "You know what, we ain't finished yet." He's looking at you and saying, "We're not done. Because the Bible says in that passage of scripture, he told Jacob, he said, I'm going to see it till it's done. Say done. When we understand that passage of scripture and we recognize that there was, imagine with me, if you will, waking up, laying on the ground, your pillow happens to be a pillow of rocks. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not good laying on the ground anyway. I've got one of these very sensitive type of bodies. I've got a pillow top in my bed. And my pillow is just right. You put me on the ground with rocks and I might not wake up the happiest of campers, that's for sure. But imagine, he's in the middle, he wakes up in the middle of this dream and he looks up and he sees God at the top of a ladder. Just picture that for me. Just imagine that. The Bible says angels were going up and down the ladder. They were climbing up and down the ladder. And he saw God, and God began to speak to him. As we talk about our passage, when we talk about this message today, talking about God has intention for you to have, you were meant for better things. I want to try to put together for you tonight and compare your relationship with Christ as a continuum of one who climbs the ladder. See, I want you to reach God. I want you to touch God. I want you to obtain all that God has for you. But there's a process by which every one of us have to go through to get to the top. And it's called a little bit of work. There are challenges that you and I are going to have to engage. There are things in this life that we're going to have to walk through. You know, one of the have you ever considered what the goal of an invention is? You know, in a moment, I'm going to ask you about this ladder, but have you ever stopped to think for just a minute, maybe what the goal of glasses were? What's the goal of glasses? If we were to ask you the question, what is the goal? What was the purpose of the invention of glasses? So you can see better. Man, we got a bright crowd here. We have vision. Let me ask you the question. What was the purpose of a car? To get faster, that's exactly right. To get from one location to the next quicker, right? Started out with steam, then it turned into combustion engines, and now we've got whatever you want to call it. We're driving on electric. All right? But the goal was to get from one location to the next location quicker than what we currently were. Let me ask you the question when we talk about a drill. What's the purpose of a drill? To make a hole. Most people, you know, when you think of an electric drill, they always say drill faster. No, it's still to make a hole. The goal, it might be to make a hole quicker, but the goal of an electric drill versus a regular drill is still the same thing, isn't it? To make a hole. Let me ask you, what's the purpose of a ladder? To reach new heights. The goal of a ladder is to get to the next level. To reach something you can't currently get to. Amen. The goal of a ladder is to take you from one step to the next step to the next step so that you might be able to obtain and reach something you could not reach before. The premise of all of what we're for all of us, and no matter where we are in our relationship with God, we can climb the proverbial ladder, so to speak, if we were to call it such, and experience the better life in God. But we have the responsibilities that will help us get there. I said this to you a little while ago. God's plan for your life supersedes anything that you have ever pictured for yourself. I said this to you earlier. If the best that you can picture for your life is such and such, guess what? God has a plan for it to be better. Amen? You know what? It could be the house that you're looking for. It could be the job that you're looking for. It could be the finances that you're looking for. And as big as you can picture, guess what God's picture is? Bigger. You were meant for better things. Let me share this thought with you for just a minute. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I'm going to share some scriptures that you know. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. It says, I know the plans that I have for you, my children. They're good plans. They're far better plans than you could ever hope or imagine for yourself. It's my desire to give you the good things. we move on and it says in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, the Bible says this, I knew you before you were born. And he said, I consecrated you. He recognized you while you were still in mama's belly. He knew who you were. He knew what you were going to do. He knew what your potential ability to accomplish in life was. The Bible goes on to say in Psalms 138 and 8, it says this, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. 1 Corinthians 2:9 is probably up there in the top 10 of my favorite verses. And it's that verse that says, no eye has seen nor ear heard what God has intended or in store for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Do you realize that what you can imagine, what you can fathom, what you can dream, God's vision for your life is better than what you think it is for yourself. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work of his good pleasure. If you go with me to Hebrews chapter 6, there's an incredible passage there about growth and development. And we're going to start, actually, Miss Julie, I didn't tell you this. I'm going to start in chapter 5. So if you want to go back to chapter 5, verse number 11, that's where we're going to start. But I want to talk to you tonight, in order to properly experience all that God has for you, the climb is required. The climb is required. That growth, that achievement, that dedication and that diligence is required. Remember, the purpose designed into every ladder is the objective to reach new heights. The very purpose and goal in our relationship with God is to do what? Reach a new height. To obtain a new level of understanding. To come to a fresher and a clearer revelation of who God is. You know, it's amazing to me when you stop and think about Moses, when he came in contact with God, God pushed him into the cleft of the rock and only allowed him to see portions of him. But the more that was there, the more he saw. How many of you have ever had your walk with God and then God all of a sudden revealed himself to you in a special way? And then in that revelation of that special way, you stopped and you went, God, wow, you're bigger than I thought you were. And then all of a sudden he revealed himself just a little bit more and he got just a little bit bigger. And then he revealed himself just a little bit more and guess what? He got just a little bit bigger. I can't spread my arms that far. He's a lot bigger. But I want to challenge you tonight as we get ready to talk. There's a passage of scripture that I came across in Hebrews chapter 6 that basically formulated this entire study, this entire foundation of where we're going tonight. But I need to challenge you guys with something right now, because Paul recognized that in talking to the Hebrews, you know, and everybody has their persuasion as to who wrote the book of Hebrews, and without going into any theological study of any kind, I'm kind of the persuasion Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But whether he did or he didn't, the author of the book of Hebrews made a statement when he was writing to them. He said this, he said, guys, you know, some of you guys have been a Christian for a long time, but you know what? You're not climbing the ladder anymore. And it's interesting the way that he says it. He says this, and starting in verse number 11 of chapter 5, he says this, there is so much more that we would like to say about this, but you don't seem to listen. So it's hard to make you understand. You have been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic things a beginner must learn about the scriptures. You are like babies who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food, and a person who is living on milk isn't far along in their Christian life and don't know much about doing what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who have trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong and then do right. You know, because of the fact that I have a persuasion of the author, we can also go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and without taking a lot of time doing a study on spiritual growth, that's not really my intention tonight. My intention tonight is for us to be like Jacob, ever looking up that ladder and seeing God and wanting that relationship with him, because he said, I'm going to be with you until it's finished. See, I meet Christians all the time, guys, that quit. along the way. And I can't tell you how heartbreaking that is, because they're not willing to take that next step up the ladder of what God has for them. As we talk tonight, I've got several very simple thoughts that I want to present to you as we go through this passage. In verse number 1 of chapter 6, I'm going to read it and then I'm going to go back and break it down for you. Chapter 6, verse number 1 says, "So let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again, and let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start all over again with the importance of turning away from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding." Say, further understanding. "For it is important, for it is impossible to restore to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who were experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people to repentance again, because they are nailing the Son of God to the cross again by rejecting Him, holding Him up to public shame. Then the ground soaks up the rain and falls. When it bears a good crop for the farmer, it is a blessing of God. But if the field bears thistles and thorns, it is useless. The farmer will condemn that field and burn it." Dear friends, even though we are talking like this, we really don't believe that it applies to you. This is my verse for foundation of all of this. We are confident that you are meant for better things. Things that come through salvation, or with salvation. "For God is not unfair. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other Christians as you still do. Our great desire that you will keep right on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and patience." As I was pondering this passage of scripture, I'm going to do my very best to try to equate to you from using the purpose of this ladder as we look at spiritual growth and as we look at this walk with God. See, guys, I want you to understand that the same author that I believe that wrote this is the same author that says, "You know what? I've not apprehended. I've not reached the ultimate goal. I've not obtained the fullest of the prize." He said, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ." He said this. He's the writer of the New Testament. Most of it, he said, "I have not gotten there yet." And guys, I would venture to say that most of us in this room probably could say the same thing. I haven't gotten there yet. But you know what? Lying there on the bed of rocks, he looked up to heaven and Jacob saw God, and God said to him, "I'm going to be with you until it's done." And I want to challenge you tonight that God's not done. He desires better things for you. There's several things I want to show you in this passage. And the first one is this, is that foundations are meant to be built on, not continually re-poured. Foundations are meant to be built on and not continually re-poured. When you look at verse number 1, and Paul, the author, says this, he says, "Guys, we've got this place in Christianity." He said, "You know what? We shouldn't have to be redoing all of this again." Have you guys, what's the first thing that you do when you set up a ladder? When you set up a ladder, how many of you have ever set up a ladder and done one of these? Why do you do that? What is the purpose of doing that? You might even kick it a couple of times. Why do you do that? Go ahead. Make sure that the foundation is set. Before you ever climb the ladder, you make sure that it's on good ground. Amen? But how often do we want to set out on something without testing it first? What Paul's saying in this passage of scripture is he's saying you got to make sure that before you can get to that next level in God, you've got to make sure your foundation is settled. You've got to make sure that your foundation and your relationship with God is settled. We shouldn't have to talk about salvation over and over and over again. We shouldn't have to talk about baptisms over and over and over again. We shouldn't have to talk about judgment over and over again, because those things are our foundation. That's the stuff we put ladders on. That's the stuff that we build upon. And see, God has an intention for each and every one of us. You know, I don't want any of us to ever get to that place where we've got our tickets stamped and we're like, whew, I got in. But we want to get to that place where, okay, God, what's the next thing you have for me? All right, I've built on that one. Now let's go to the next place. So the first thing that I need you to understand in looking at our passage, let us stop going over and over and over the basics. He says this, he says, foundations are meant to be built on, not continually re-poured. Second thing I want to share with you is this. Initially, the view on the first step doesn't look too different from the perspective of life from the ground, eh? Have you ever gotten on a ladder and said, yep, that's all I need, don't need any more. We got saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yep, God, I see you up there. Right? But you know what? God has more than salvation for you. He has much more than salvation for you. To stop here would be to devalue the rest of the ladder, wouldn't it? We wouldn't get the fullest benefit of this ladder. We wouldn't get its full potential of this ladder. But some people, there's not much of a difference right here to right here. But do you realize that the higher I go, am I ringing yet? You know what? I'm not as scared on this one. When I did this at Broken Arrow, I got a 16-foot ladder. I was up there. But you know what? My perspective all of a sudden changes right here, doesn't it? Do you realize that the problems of my life have a totally different viewpoint from this level than when I was down there? Do you realize that in my growth in the things of God, the more I learn about the things of God, the more scripture I grab and the more I develop in my life, I begin to see things from a completely different perspective. See, my perspective from right here is quite different than my perspective is down there. How many of you realize that maybe I see things a little bit more like God sees them right here? See, when God's looking down on Jacob from this perspective, he's looking at him, he says, don't worry, man, we got this. As far as the north is from the south, the east and the west, you know what? God's perspective is completely different than Jacob's laying on that rock. What is Jacob seeing? He's seeing angels walking up and down a ladder and God speaking to him. What God is seeing is, I see your potential. And he says, I can see it farther than you can. And see, I want to challenge you guys as we look at this. You know what? Your foundation doesn't need to be re-poured. And I want to challenge you to think that that first step in making your decision for Jesus Christ, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. When you start talking about a perspective, you have to understand the defining definition of perspective is a particular attitude toward the way of something regarding something or your point of view. As you begin to climb the ladder in your walk with God and the growth begins to take place, each new truth and revelation is built upon the next. You needed salvation before you could accept the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You needed to understand God's love before you really could even understand his forgiveness. Every potential level of revelation that you have comes from taking that next step. And so as I talk to you tonight, Psalms 119:18 says this, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths of your instruction. See, God has it for you and I, guys, that there is an instruction in this incredible manual to get you and I to that next step right there. Or if you're here, he wants to get you right there. If you're right here, guess what? God has it through his word, the ability to take you right there. Amen? I don't want you guys to stay there lying on the bed of rocks, only allowing God to say, this is what I have for you, if you're not willing to get up off of that bed of rocks and take that step and that step and that step. God has some good things. Say, God has some good things for me. I am meant for better things. Amen. The third thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Advancing is a non-negotiable expectation. Advancing is a non-negotiable expectation. If you look at verse number 3, it says this. It says, and so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. There's an intention for you and I say, I'm going to move forward. And in our illustration of using a ladder, I'm going to go upward. I'm going to go to that next level. I'm going to go to that next place with him. And see, when we do that, when we understand that, you know, I heard a minister one time when I was a little boy. And he said this. He said, Bob, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. Because in God, there's no status quo. He's not interested in status quo. The Bible actually makes it quite clear to you and I what status quo means. In God, there's a reality without going to the passage and making all of us feel bad. He said, I would rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. Because the lukewarm individual, he said, I have absolutely no use for. I want to challenge you guys so that we can get to that next level. Advancing is a non-negotiable expectation. In order to accomplish your task, you can't stop halfway up the climb. If I've got to change these light bulbs, I can't do it from here. If I've got to get to that next place that God has for me, I've got to go and be willing to take that next step. It's important that advancing is a non-negotiable expectation. Say, God expects me to advance. God doesn't expect you to stay the same. He's not interested in you staying the same. The Bible says this in Matthew 5:48. It says this, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And that word perfect, according to the Scofield Reference Bible, said this, it implies coming to a full development, growth and maturity, and to a picture of godliness. You know what, guys? I'm not there yet. It's okay. You can say that with me. Say, I'm not there yet. But are we pushing towards perfection? Are we pushing towards maturity? Are we advancing in that direction? See, guys, I know that there are things that will just chop our knees out from under us from time to time, and we'll just do everything we can to just not lose footing. But the reality is, guys, is that, you know what? When we realize that, we have to understand who our God is in the middle of that moment. Because he has a desire for each and every one of us to go to that next level. Colossians 1:10 says this, says the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit, while all the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. So, we're learning just some simple things out of our passage. Foundations are meant to be built on, not continually repoured. Initially, the view from the first step isn't that different from the foundational step. The third thing is advancement is a non-negotiable expectation. Number 4, you were never meant to go backwards. You were never meant to go backwards. You were never meant to regress. In fact, in this passage of scripture, there's some very strong language for individuals in verse number 4 and 5 that had once tasted of the good fruit, those that had once walked with the Lord. The Bible says there's really not a whole lot we can do for them that have chosen to walk the other direction. And so let's just say this, without getting into a deep, heavy-duty doctrinal discussion, how about we just do this? Let's not go there. If we'll remember number 3, I'm not going to have to worry about number 4. If I remember that God is intending me always to be advancing, I don't have to worry about regressing. And I don't have to worry about being in that potential situation where I am no longer passionately following or passionately pursuing the purpose of God for my life and the purpose that God has for me. Stop and think about Jacob laying on the rock when God said to him, I can see as far as the north, the south, the east, and the west. And he said, your descendants are going to be like the dust of the wind. And he said, I'm going to be with you till we're done with this. Say, God's not done. I'm meant for better things. Do you believe that? Amen. All right. When you're going up and down that ladder, you need to understand that it's God that truly sets you free. When you look into that perfect law of liberty, the Bible says you are free. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:4, it says that we don't get tied up with the issues of this life. You know, we'd be climbing this ladder, and if I remember the story of Nehemiah, Nehemiah made a statement when he was standing on the wall. And without going to that chapter and verse, he's up there working on the wall. He's building the wall, and he's knocking it out. 53 days, he's done with the wall. But he's standing up there, and he's got some guys around him. He's got some distractions. Any of us have any distractions? Any of us have people in our lives that probably mean well, but don't? Never mind, we'll leave it alone. But Nehemiah's standing on the wall, and he's got guys that are saying, come on down. And Nehemiah says to him, he says, you know what? I'm too busy to come down off this wall. He said, because I'm constantly pursuing the purpose and plan of God for my life. He said, God has called me. He's commissioned me. And he has given me the mandate to finish this wall. I'm not coming down. And so the reality is, guys, is we're not to regress. We're not to go backwards. We're constantly supposed to be moving forward. And I understand that sometimes moving forward can be at great leaps and great bounds. But you know what? Sometimes this is an advancement. Whew. That might have taken all the energy you had that day. Seriously. You get a doctor's report. And the doctor's report is bad. And you're like, oh. You start doing this. Right? You stagger. Anybody ever stagger before? When you stagger, you don't usually stagger forward. You usually stagger backwards like you got the wind knocked out of you. But you know what? No. Greater is he that is in me. That's he that's in this world. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper in Jesus' name. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. The Bible says that by his stripes I've been made whole. Hallelujah. He's healed me and delivered me from every disease and destruction. Amen. The Bible says he's renewed my youth as the eagles. Now, I've not taken any long deeps and I've not run marathons on that one. But you know what? I got from there to there. God's interested in you making continual advancement. Number five, let me share this with you. In verses 7 and 8, they're interesting. They land right back down, smack dab in the middle of this verse, and they say this. When the ground soaks up the rain that falls on it and bears good crop, for the farmer, it is a blessing to God. But if the field bears thistles and thorns, it is useless. The farmer will condemn the field and burn it. Look at this. Your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines, what kind of ground are you? Are you good ground that when the rain comes and all of a sudden good fruit comes forth? Or are you kind of one of them stony grounds? Are you one of those grounds that it makes it a little bit difficult to get anything planted in? When you start looking at the Word of God and you recognize, you know what? There are days, guys, that I don't feel like climbing. Nobody else have ever done that? Any days you just didn't feel like climbing? You just weren't into it? You know what? I'm not doing it today, God. And guess what? My altitude is totally determined by what's coming out of my mouth. Amen? Might not even be coming out of my mouth. It just might be coming out of my heart. But eventually the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, we end up speaking it. And we look at that ladder. Oh God, can you imagine Jacob laying on the rocks and hearing what God had told him? That seems awfully big, God. But you know what? He didn't have God's perspective the moment it was said. He's laying on a bed of rocks. God's at the top of the ladder. His perspective's completely different. See, our goal is the pursuit of what God's perspective is. Our goal is to always determine what his perspective and his thought is. And so you know what? I take that step and say, okay, God. Whew. I'm just going to camp here for just a little while. That's all I can do. I'm good right now. But you know what? I made an advancement. I didn't regress. I stayed moving forward in what God had for me. And see, when you and I will make that intention and make that desire to go, I have to ask you this question. How's the state of your heart? What kind of ground are you? The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, it says that we're supposed to plow up the hard ground of our hearts. Do not waste your good seed among thorns. Number six. And I've only got 10, so we're almost done. You were meant for better things. Say, I was meant for better things. It's Bible right there. It says in verse number 9, dear friends, even though we talk, we're talking like this, we don't really believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come through salvation or with salvation. When we talk about better things, the life you are living now is not even close to the plans that God has for you. You are meant for better things. When we look at salvation, I have my study Bible that I always put with whatever I'm studying. I guess I'm old school. Is it okay to be old school? I have old school King James on my desk next to whatever I'm reading because that's what I learned. All right. Anybody else like me? Anybody please tell me I'm not the only one. All right. I'm studying old school King James. And my old school King James study Bible is a Scofield reference Bible. All right. So, I mean, we're getting really old. In fact, my King James says old Scofield because apparently there's a new Scofield. I didn't know Scofield. There's two Scofields. I just thought there was one. But I've got my Bible actually says old Scofield reference Bible. My wife has a new because we couldn't find another old. It's old. Just kidding. So anyway, but in his, P.C. Nelson, who's one of the greatest theologians of Bible doctrine, references Scofield's notes when he comes to that word salvation. Do you realize that you were meant for better things that came with salvation? And what comes with salvation? If you go to that word salvation and you understand the original meaning of that word, that original meaning is it's sozo. And that word sozo means this. According to the reference, it says the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. In other words, if you were to look at that in what I would say in Bob's version, salvation means wholeness and completeness. See, if there are things in your life that you're not feeling whole, if there's things that you're not feeling complete, guess what? Salvation's plugged that hole for you. You just need to recognize that it's available to you. You just need to recognize that it's available to you. Climbing this ladder in your spiritual journey unlocks new heights and better things are realized and revealed. Remember, the higher that I go, my vision gets clearer. You know, when I do this illustration, I realize that, 100 feet behind me is that back wall. But if I'm standing on top of this ladder, I have a new perspective for greater distances in horizons. I can see further. I might be able to even see clearer as a result of my height because I have no obstacles in my way seeing what's in front of me. I'm a 6 foot, 1.5 inch individual, but if I have obstacles that are 7 feet tall, it's very difficult for me to see beyond that obstacle. But the higher I get in my walk with God, the new heights that I obtain, guess what? I can see further, and God has incredible things for me. See, I use this ladder as an illustration because I want every time you guys climb in a ladder, you recognize that you say to yourself, I'm going to that next level. I'm going to another level. Greater views, seeing farther and reaching higher. The last few things that I want to share with you is this. Number 7, God honors good deeds, period. The Bible says in verse number 10, it makes this statement to us. It says this, it says, for God is not unfair. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown love to him by caring for other Christians as you still do. Do you realize this, guys, that the great thing about the gospel is that we confess our past failures, God forgets them, but he does not forget the good deeds of love that we have given to others. See, the Bible says this, that says that when we have failed, guess what? God says this, if we'll come boldly to him, if we'll ask for forgiveness, the Bible says that he forgets it. He throws that sin that as far as the east is from the west. But in this passage of scripture, it proves that, you know what? He'll forget the bad ones when we come with a position of confession and repentance, but he doesn't forget the good ones. And the Bible says that he's going to reward you. If you'll continue to pursue that climb, God's going to honor you. And one of the evidences that we see of individuals that are climbing this ladder is that their walk of love becomes greater and greater. The higher they get on this walk, the higher they get in this climb, the more they become like the one who's standing on top of it. Because the Bible tells us in another passage, who's standing on the top of the vision ladder? That we saw that Jacob said God was at the top. And the Bible says that he is love. Amen? So the higher we're getting, the more we're walking in the reality of his love. Let me share this thought with you real quickly. Number 8, loving others is a mark of maturity. Loving others is a mark of maturity. Let me just stop for just a minute and pick up a story real quickly. How many of you remember the story of Jonah? Anybody remember the story of Jonah? Jonah is the guy that got burped up by a whale. He decided to go his own direction. He decided to take his own little journey. And we find that, you know what? To correct that little misjudgment in his direction, the Bible says he got swallowed by a whale, right? And then we know that he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. And the Bible says that he got burped up at the shores of Jonah. Right there on the... Can you imagine that picture for just a minute? Here's a guy been sitting in the belly of a whale. Anybody cut open a fish before? About yuck. This guy's just walking up the... I'd run myself. All these acids swallowing me up and everything. Guys, I believe the Bible is true. You know what? I don't know if you might not believe everything in there is real, but I do. I think it's cool. You read the Bible and I'm telling you, it is the coolest book in the world. No wonder it's the bestseller. But you know what? It's interesting. We recognize that loving others is a mark of maturity, not just simply obedience. Jonah, we understand that maturity is marked by love, not by knowledge. In this passage, we understand in the story of Jonah that Jonah said, you know what, God, the reason I'm not going that way is because I know what you're going to do. He said, you love those people. I don't love those people. I know you love those people. He said, I'm not really interested in going the direction you want to go. And so what do we know? Jonah had knowledge. He had knowledge of God, didn't he? He had knowledge of his character. He had knowledge of what God's personality and person is. But he didn't have maturity, didn't he? He didn't have maturity because what did he do? He said, you know what? To prove to you that I'm not going that way, I'm going the other way. And in fact, he says in Jonah chapter 4, verse number 1 through 3, this is the coolest story. He says this, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew that you are merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if I had predicted not what would happen. He's basically saying, I knew you'd forgive them. I knew you would love them. Ugh. Anybody ever get that way? None of you have ever been that way. But you know what? Loving is a mark of maturity. But let me share something with you guys. Verse number 12, as we get ready to close. I've got the last two thoughts, and they go very close hand in hand. Verse 12 says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. You know what? Have you ever climbed a ladder? Has anybody ever been working up on a ladder? And at some point while you're working up on the ladder, you lose sight. You forget where you are. You might have been painting, you know, and you might have been just doing the trim, and you might have been up there for quite a while, and then all of a sudden you kind of lose your balance. You ever done that? And you go, you catch yourself? Nobody's ever done that? You know, especially when you're getting up there near the top and you're just doing one of these deals, you might have your headphones in, you might just be singing, praising the Lord or something, and then all of a sudden you just, oh, your heart just goes, because you knew that was a 17-foot drop, you know? You would have busted your head if you hit the ground. You know what's amazing is as you're up there, I want to share something with you. In this simple little passage of verse number 12, indifference can create instability, number 9. Indifference, if you're indifferent in the walk of God, in the love walk, if you're indifferent into your growing and your relationship with him, if you don't care or you become careless in your walk with God, guess what? You can be standing on that ladder and become extremely unstable. We have a responsibility, guys, in our love walk, in hearing, and in the words that we speak. We have to understand that the word calls us out to be doers and not just hearers only. The Bible tells us that there's a responsibility of preparation. I remember the story in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. There were people that were ever pursuant of the return of God. And the Bible says there were 10 virgins. Five of them were always looking forward and had oil ready in their lamps. And five were just playing around. And then all of a sudden, five were gone and five were left. Guys, I want you to understand that indifference to your personal walk with God, to your willingness to climb this ladder, your indifference can create an incredible instability in your life. And I don't want that instability. I want you guys to be rooted on a ground that's hard and firm. The last thing that I want to share with you is this. The Bible says here in verse number 12, it says, "Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and patience." The last thing is this: follow those who climb well. The Bible says in that passage right there, "Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises." In other words, what he's saying is follow those who climb well. Paul made this statement. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You know what? I wish I could say with all sincerity that I had the boldness to say such a statement. And I don't want to be, pseudo humble. But the reality is I would ask you to follow me. I know, how many of you know we all make mistakes? How many of you know that we've not all arrived? How many of you know that, you know, from time to time, if you're looking to man, you'll miss God? But the reality is, guys, is we have a responsibility to follow those that are willing to make that climb. And guys, I want each and every one of you guys, as you're thinking about this message, it's a simple message. But you know what? God has intended for you better things than what you're currently experiencing. You know, it'd be really interesting if I just chose to preach the entire message from this perspective. Because it's different for me, but it's also different from you. Guys, I want you to understand that God has intentions and plans and endeavors for you. And just like God, looking down from the ladder, looked at Jacob with his head on the rock, and he said, "You know what? I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to bless you as far as I can bless you." He said, "You know what? The blessing is going to be so great, it's going to reach the north, the south, the east, and the west. But the challenge of the verse for me was that last statement." And this is where Bob had to really come in line with understanding that God meant me for better things. When God said at the end to Jacob, "I'm going to be with you till it's done." He's not finished with you, church. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But I promise you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you'll stay faithful in the climb, God will be there with you when it's done. Amen. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody doing okay?
Yep.
All right. Might be a little bit different tonight. Hopefully that's okay. But everybody close your eyes for just a minute, and I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't want anybody looking around. I don't want you looking at your neighbor, your spouse, your friend, your in-law, your outlaw. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to be honest with God, and I want you to be honest, and I want you to raise your hand if this is you, and you can honestly say, "God, I haven't been faithful in my climb." I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to even have you come up front. I just need you to raise your hand. If you just say to me, say, "Bob, I haven't been faithful in my climb." Praise the Lord. There's hands going up everywhere. Hands going up everywhere. You just know in your heart. You say, "Bob, you know what? I just want to get that climb right tonight. I'm a Christian. I love God. But I've just not been faithful in my climb. I've done some regressing. I've had some attitude that affected my altitude. But you know what? I promise you that God hears you, God sees you, God understands you." And let me pray for you. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name right now, and I just lift up these individuals with outstretched arms. It takes an incredible boldness, Heavenly Father, for an individual to say, Father, I've not been faithful in the climb. But Lord, I want to be like Jacob in the end of my days when I recognize that you have been with me until it's done. Father, there are people in this room that are hurting right now, people that are discouraged, people that are frustrated, people that have quit and started and quit and started and quit and started. But Father, I'm just believing right now, Heavenly Father, that they were meant for better things, things that came with salvation. Father, I'm asking that you give them hope. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would give them deliverance. I pray, Father, that you would provide for them healing. And I thank you right now in Jesus' name that you are the greater one that dwells on the inside of them. Father, I just pray right now as we get ready to leave this place, Lord, that this week we would experience the better things in every arena of our life. And for that, Heavenly Father, we'll be grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. If there are those of you that are here that maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, everybody, you know what? I want God to be your God. I want Jesus to be your Savior. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, or maybe it's been a long time since you served Him, do me a favor and just come up here right now. I just want to pray with you. Just come on up. I'm not embarrassing anybody, but you know what? I believe before you leave, God wants to be real in your life. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? I think we had a good church service. The presence of God was strong in this place. And I know that God has intention for each and every one of us to have a great week. Amen. So if it's all right with you, I want to pray a blessing over you. Heavenly Father, I just come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we bring a benediction to this service, I ask, Heavenly Father, that your anointing would rest upon these people. I pray, Lord, that as they go, they will know and understand that they're the head and not the tail. That they would recognize, Heavenly Father, that they can do all things through Christ who gives them strength. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that even though the supply may not look like it's there, the word says that you supply every need that we have need of. And Father, if we'll seek you first in your kingdom and your righteousness, everything that we have need of will be given to us. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that they have the mind of Christ and whatever they put their hand to, Father, this week would prosper in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that you've equipped them, you've enabled them, you've empowered them with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to have an incredible week in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before you leave, make sure you shake a hand, hug a neck, find somebody that just tell them, hey, you've been meant for better things in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week.